But one thing I wanted to mention before I pray to start us was Joni had asked me if I had created these these scripts by myself, and no, I've adopted some scripts and formulated them, put them in the bulletin form so you guys would have easy access to them. The presentation, etc., is all mine. I'm ad-libbing and modifying it so that it's mine. So today, as I share this with you, yes, this is my artwork. This is the best I can do, just so you know, because there's a little bit of a drawing on this particular presentation. And so try not to hold that against me. Okay, let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us with His Word. Father, we thank You for this day and the amazing opportunity we have to worship You. Thank You that You desire to know us. You desire us to worship You. Thank You for bringing us all here today. And I pray, Father, that Your Word, as we reflect on the gospel message, as it is drawn out, that You would be the one teaching us, reminding us, and just sinking this truth within our minds, Lord, that it can easily just flow out of us in conversation when we're, sharing with somebody that doesn't know You. Please just lead us and help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Got to start at the beginning or it's going to be a really short sermon. Start at the end. So anyway, many of you know that I've been, going through, well, some of you know, I suppose most of you. We've been talking about the gospel, how to do a presentation to somebody that doesn't know Christ. And in the bulletins, I've put in, a little half sheet so that you've got, that as a reference for the future. There's extras on the Welcome Center, by the way, in case you want to have extras. Anyway, my goal is to encourage each of you to realize that you can make a difference in the life of other, a coworker, a friend, neighbor. You don't have to have all the answers, okay? But it really is helpful if you have a tool or if you have some kind of reminder, which is why I have created that for you. Just one person, I'm just praying that, God would put one person on your mind this week, just like the 12 names that were shared with me, that you would be praying for each one of those people, for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. But the important thing is, if you're going to share the gospel with somebody, you've got to spend time praying for them, and you got to spend some time with them. It's no good to just pray for somebody if you're not willing to, take a step and say, hey, I'd like to present some truth to you. Would you like to hear it? So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the four simple steps, which is a methodology of sharing the gospel. Last week, the acrostic gospel, and this week will be the bridge. Now, many of you are familiar with the bridge. It kind of tells the story of the whole Bible in a sense. The first step of this was God created man. So if you had a piece of paper, or someone said you could do this on a napkin, and I'm thinking it must be a really, have to fold it out because my handiwork wouldn't be that good. But if any kind of paper, get a piece, large piece of paper, draw a horizontal line on the left side, horizontal line on the right side. If you see, I put a little man over. That is, by the way, that's not my handiwork. I downloaded that from the internet, okay? I cannot draw that good, quite frankly. Anyway, so draw a horizontal line on each side. Draw a man, or write the word man on one side and God on the other. And if you were really creative, say, for example, if you had a pencil, it might be a good idea to draw the line all the way across at first and to say, this is the way it was in the beginning. Then go to Genesis chapter 3 and talk about this is why there was a separation in the first place. The step 2 is sin separated man from God. And draw vertical lines from both sides all the way down to the bottom of your pieces of paper. That represents this chasm that now exists between you and God, or between man and God, all of us. You call it a chasm, you could call it a valley, a great expanse, you're going to use your own words in this, okay? Step 3 is you're going to identify the problem. What exactly is our problem? And write our problem over on the left side, as you can see up on the screen up there, right underneath man. Write our problem, and then write the word sin just below that. And then below that, write the verse Romans 3:23. And explain to your friend who you love, who you've been praying for, who you're investing in. Explain to them that sin is our problem. You could even read the verse, Romans 3:23. pick up your Bible and say, hey, let's look at this together. What does it say? And you know what? When someone else reads this, you can say, well, so what do you think that means? And they're going to say, well, everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's standard. Then you're going to say, yes, you get an A. You read that correctly because that's exactly what it says. You might add Isaiah 1:2, where God said, the children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Okay, again, they've rebelled against me, and there's that separation. Next, write death, and then right below that, Romans 6:23, and explain the effect of sin. Okay, they might be like, well, who cares? But if you explain to them that the effect of sin is death, have them read Romans 6:23. Read it with them. Let the other person you're with actually read the verse for themselves. Let them speak that truth into their own heart. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the result of sin is death. And you might take a minute or two to explain he's talking about spiritual death, eternal separation. You could also add Isaiah 59:2, which says, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. And then write judgment. And right below that, write the verse Hebrews 9:27 and explain that judgment awaits us all. If your friend reads this verse, he's going to say, or she, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. We are destined to die once and then to be judged. Well, after you've explained all this to them, the next step is to answer the question, so what? So what if I've got sin? I mean, aren't we all in the same boat? We're all sinners, yes. We're all going to die one way or the other. We're all going to be judged, yes, it's all true. Okay, so what difference does it make? Well, you draw an arrow on the side pointing down and write eternal death and explain that that's permanent separation, no more chances. Explain that we will feel the guilt and shame of our sins, and that knowing that we are going to be condemned for our sins, we're going to live in fear. You know, most people do live in fear of death because of the uncertainty. They know that they have not measured up, just instinctively. Most people do. That's why they fear death. Write the words guilt and shame, condemnation and fear right next to that arrow in your presentation. The next step is this. Okay, because this is where people all say the same thing, like, I'm going to fix this. Okay, I am going to fix this problem. Okay, now this is a good point to talk. This is a good point in your conversation. Remember, you're having a conversation with somebody. You're not shoving truth down their throat. You're not making a presentation. You don't have your tie on. You're having a conversation with a friend. Okay, this is a good point in the conversation to relate how all of us know that there is some moral standard or virtue that we try to live by, and that people embrace all kinds of causes to feel good about themselves because they want to give back in some way. But give back to who? I mean, really, think about that. Who are you giving back to? I mean, God has given us everything. You can't give back to a society or give back to a people. All of us have this inner desire to please God, but we don't know exactly how to do it. All of us recognize this chasm deep within us, but we really don't know how to solve that problem. This would be another good time to remind people this. I very often remind people about King Solomon. I don't know if you remember King Solomon or not in the Old Testament, but King Solomon was the wisest, wealthiest, most powerful human being on the planet. I think the Bible says he's the wisest person to ever lived. Okay? And he had possessions as far as the eye could see. He had wealth beyond imagination. And yet, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes in the later years of his life, there's a lot of lamenting about all that God has done. And anyway, chapter 3, verse 11, King Solomon identifies the source. Okay, what is it inside of us? What's the source of inside? Why do I want to do good? Why do I want to be good? Why do I want... The source is this, Ecclesiastes 3:11. King Solomon said this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So God has planted eternity in us. He's planted something inside us that longs and yearns for something outside of ourselves. And you tell that to your friend, that longing inside of you. I mean, all of us have it. You have it. Your friend knows they have it. Okay? You yearn and you long for that. Well, God is the one that placed that inside you. Solomon's point is the human heart yearns for something outside of itself. Next. Okay, they're still thinking, okay, I can fix this. So go through, how do people try to fix this gap between them and God? How do they do it? Number one, good works. Write the word good works. And then below that, write Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so no one can boast about it." So good works are not going to save you. Explain that no amount of good works is going to get you across that chasm. No amount of good works, no amount of good behavior. It is a gift, and you can't earn it. Next, write religion. And under it, John 14, 6. Jesus said in John 14, 6, He told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And just as your friend reads this, they're thinking immediately, you know, this world says, oh, you Christians, I mean, you have it against everybody else. You have it against the religions, etc. It's, you know, it's not our religion. We didn't write the Bible. Right? I mean, the Bible, Jesus said, no one gets to heaven and gets to the Father except through me. All we're doing is believing it and stating it. That does great against some people. Explain that God did not create many different paths. All paths do not lead to heaven, okay? All paths do not. No religion can save you except a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Next, write philosophy. And write the verse Colossians 2:8. It says this, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense." I don't know how often you've heard this high-sounding nonsense from people, but I wish you could record it and then play it back to them like a year later and think, oh, I can't believe I said that. Anyway, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. You get that? This high-sounding nonsense and these philosophies do not come from the Bible. They come from the spiritual powers of this world, which is Satan. If you want to take a minute to find some verses on Satan and talk about how he is the god of this age, how he is blinding people who deny the truth. Okay, explain that human reasoning and philosophy may sound wise, but the source of it is the world or Satan, and it will not save you. No philosophy is going to save you. No philosophy can bridge that gap. No work, no religious conviction, no amount of sincerity or human wisdom can fix the problem that exists between man and God. That problem is sin, and nothing we offer will satisfy His judgment against sin. The next step is this, God's remedy for sin. Say, there is hope. Here's where the hope comes. Stick with me all the way through this presentation. God's remedy, write that across the middle, between the two sides. And write the verse on the left-hand side, write Romans 5:8, right underneath God's remedy, and off to the left. Romans 5:8 said, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." On the other side, write 1 Peter 3:18. On the right side, and 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit." And after you've shared these two verses, draw a cross in the middle that represents Christ bridging the expanse through the cross between man and God, and write the name Jesus on the lower half of that cross. Explain that Jesus is God's remedy. Jesus is the remedy for sin. His death on the cross paid the price and satisfied the wrath of God. Explain that and paraphrase Romans, the verses in Romans and 1 Peter like this. Say, God loved us and doesn't want us to die without Him. So He sent Jesus to die for our sins, all sin for all time, so He could bring us safely home. And that's when you say, so He can bring you safely home. He wants you and loves you. And after that, assuming the Holy Spirit is convicting them and challenging them, and they're starting to nod their head, they're starting to think, you know, maybe this is true. Then you get to tell them how to respond. The next step is write our response under God on the right hand side, and write believe, and below it write John 3:16. You might include verse 17, or maybe some other verses that come to your mind. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. It is the first act, the first step. It's the spark of faith and belief in your heart. And what are you willing to do with that? Are you willing to confess? Write the word confess, and below it write Romans 10:9-10. And read the passage. If you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You can't pay lip service to God. You can only be saved if what you confess is really in your heart. And then write the word repent, and below it, 2 Corinthians 7:10. And read this passage. This is a great verse, by the way. If you read the whole passage and you really reflect on what Paul is saying here. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, He does want you to experience sorrow, leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow that lacks repentance results in spiritual death. You see that? A repentance in your own strength, just because you're sorry about your circumstances or you're sorry about your pain you're going through, you might as well draw another plank right there and put false repentance over on that side, because it's not going to get you across. Believing and confessing openly and repenting, truly turning away and turning to Christ. Genuine repentance leads to holiness, which gets you to the point of saying, a genuine repentance leads you to living a godly life. Don't worry about getting it all figured out today. You're not going to fix all your problems, all your sins. I mean, become a Christian, put your faith in Christ, you're baptized into Christ, and the problems don't go away. In fact, your problems are probably going to magnify, if you're honest, because you got a target on your back. Now Satan is after you. He's trying to destroy you and your faith. Now we're baptized into Christ, and right below that, Acts 2:37-38. And you can explain the whole story, which is a great story about the very first sermon. Peter's word pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the very first sermon was preached, the crowd felt the guilt of their sins, and they felt the hopelessness of their situation. And they cried out to their brothers, brothers, what shall we do? Repent, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then receive the special gift of His Holy Spirit. Lastly, draw an arrow pointing down and write eternal life at the very bottom. Explain that because we have been forgiven, that we are no longer condemned. We've been adopted into God's family. We have been set free from sin, and we will enjoy eternal life with Christ Jesus. As you write those words on the right-hand side, mark these verses, Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. Romans 8:15 says the Holy Spirit has adopted us into God's family. Romans 6:6 says that we've been set free from the power of sin, no longer a slave to sin. And John 5:24 says that we have eternal life with Christ Jesus. So I want to challenge you, those of you who already gave me names, I'm going to double down on this, okay? You're thinking, what is he talking about? What I'm talking about is this. I'm challenging you as we close in prayer. We're going to get a close here in a couple minutes so a man can come forward. As we get ready to close, I want you to say, Lord, is there one person? Just say it. Say the words, Lord, is there one person, just one, you'd like me to reach out to this week and share your truth? Pray that right now. And here's the thing. If the Lord puts a person in your heart, in your mind right now, I'm asking you to send me that name. I'll be praying with you for that person, okay? Now, 7 people gave me 12 names last week. Okay, so I cheated. That's why this sermon is not 15 minutes. It's almost 20, all right? If I would have got 10, no, I'm just kidding. I probably would have done the exact same sermon, okay? Here's the thing. Jesus Christ wants you to share the gospel with other people. Will you do that for him? Okay, let's do it. Let's pray to close. Lord Jesus, thank you for being present in this room. Thank you for filling our hearts and our minds with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing truth of the gospel. It's beyond imagination that we are saved because of what Jesus did for us, not because we earn it or deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. And Lord, I pray that each of us not only desire, Lord, to share this truth with others, but we desire to live it out ourselves, to live the holy and godly life you've called us to. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.